This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Monday, April the 8th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
The world's biggest gathering of rare disease researchers, patient groups, pharmaceutical executives, and government officials took place April 10th to 12th. Over 1,200 people attended the World Orphan Drug Congress 2019, and it took place in Oxon Hill, Maryland. About 35% of those attendees came from outside the United States. This was the largest global rare disease conference. Since it started in 2011, it has focused on how to advance rare diseases research and also how to expedite orphan drug development. The three-day event included 240 sessions with nearly 250 speakers. Over 50 countries were represented. Plus, nearly 200 patient groups were in attendance. These included the Alport Syndrome Foundation, the European Hemophilia Consortium, and Friedreich's Ataxia Research Alliance. In total, there were more than 70 sponsors and exhibitors. Two of the top speakers were CEOs of two very large rare disease groups. First, Peter Saltonstall of the National Organization for Rare Disorders, and Yan-Li Kam of the Paris-based Eurordis. There were also presentations by the US FDA and other national rare disease associations from Argentina, Bulgaria, Canada, China, India, Spain, and Russia. Some of the biggest issues tackled this year were discussions on access and affordability. There was also talk about advanced therapies, such as gene therapy and how it's being developed for rare diseases. One of the problem areas is that contract manufacturers are already at overcapacity since there has been a growing demand for cell and gene therapies. One of the delivery methods for gene therapy is viral vectors. But since it's an evolving field, batch efficiency and production of those vectors is quite troublesome. Speakers also included half a dozen CEOs of leading pharmaceutical companies. Centogene, Sangamo Therapeutics, and CRISPR Therapeutics are just some that were represented. Biogen offered insight into the global reimbursement landscape for their SMA therapy called Spinraza. Mark Galbraith from Spark Therapeutics talked on challenges with analytical development for gene therapy. Christopher Austin, who is director of the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences, spoke on continuing to march towards curative therapies for rare diseases. Another focus of the conference was data and artificial intelligence. Some speakers on the topic were Simon Koss, who is Chief Medical Officer at Microsoft, James Greenwood, CEO of Biotechnology Innovation Organization, and Uday Shukla of HVH Patient Precision Analytics. Samit Hirawat of Novartis discussed potential medicines for rare cancers. And John Maraganore of Alnylam Pharmaceuticals spoke on advancing RNAi therapeutics. And finally, there were over 40 sponsors for the event, and the title sponsor being Centogene.
Coming up next, I'll share one of my perspectives with you.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
I would like to take a few minutes to talk to you about the advantages of taking physical therapy while on treatment with Spinraza. I know that I've touched on this subject many times in my other perspective pieces, but after looking back on what I've been through over the past year, I can say that Spinraza and my physical therapy have not only made me feel better, I'm finding that I recover faster from an illness than I used to. In September 2018, I came down with pneumonia and was hospitalized for 5 days. During the first 2 days in intensive care, my fever reached 104.8 degrees, and even though my body was struggling to recover, I had this sense of peace over me that kept me calm and in control. After doctors brought my fever down to a more manageable level, I spent the next 3 days getting my blood pressure and fluids back to a normal level. When I was released from the hospital, I immediately felt extremely weak and lethargic, but this was due to laying in bed flat on my back for 5 days. I had done some research while in the hospital regarding individuals with SMA and how long it would take me to recover. Everything that I read stated that it would take me at least 6 months to regain my strength and to get back to what I would consider a normal level. Everyone told me to take it easy and to go slow, and my physical therapist, Laura, told me that time was not really a factor and that I could take as much time as I needed. To my surprise, after just a few weeks at home and some good food, I felt my strength returning, and I knew that my recovery would not take as long as first predicted. Laura wrote an article for the SMA News Today HCP site, and this article talked about the benefits that physical therapy gave me with regards to my recovery, and I would like to read you a few paragraphs. Quote, "My patient was recently admitted to the emergency room because he had an extremely high fever and was diagnosed with pneumonia. As mentioned in the article, spinal muscular atrophy and breathing difficulties, it is very common for people with SMA to have respiratory complications, including those due to lung underdevelopment and weak cough. He was discharged from the hospital 5 days later. We decided that it would be best for him to take 2 weeks off to focus on healing and resting. Upon his return, we completed a reevaluation to determine if he had lost any strength. His only noticeable decrease in strength ran his abdominals. During his reevaluation, the patient noted to me that he had no residual congestion or coughing since his release from the hospital 2.5 weeks ago. According to lung.org, it can take a week for a healthy individual to recover from pneumonia. Typically, with an SMA patient, at 1 week, their fever should desist. After 4 weeks, their chest should feel better and produce less mucus. After 6 weeks, it should be easier to breathe with less coughing, and at 3 months, their symptoms should be almost gone with some fatigue. After 6 months, their symptoms should be completely gone. To continue with his rehabilitation and to prevent any further respiratory problems, we have resumed physical therapy slowly. We will continue engaging his core and his abdominal strengthening with focus on diaphragm breathing. We believe that because of his physical therapy exercises and focus on abdominal strengthening, we have reduced his healing time drastically, thus demonstrating the importance of physical therapy in patients diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy." End quote. I hope that by listening to my perspective piece that you've learned the importance of physical therapy while on active treatment with Spinraza. For those of you that are listening and that are on active treatment, I urge you to consult with your doctors and tell them that since your body is now receiving the protein that it needs to sustain the muscle that you already have and to possibly get stronger, that you yourself would like to take physical therapy. I can tell you from first-hand experience the benefits that I've seen. Spinraza coupled with physical therapy is a combination that I think you'll find beneficial to not only feeling better, but also to improve the quality of your life. The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multi-Channel Content Director.